We're just in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 now, and I'll read for us from verses 12 through to 18. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men." Listen, as a Christian church, there are some rudimentary things that we do. Preaching is one of them. Our praises that we sing in song, and also the praise of the word preached, are all acts of worship, and the listening and the participation in that is part of our worship. And so we come now to a time where we just look at a portion of scripture together and look for some kind of explanation and application to what it might mean for us in our day and age. And so this is what I'm attempting to do now, is just to look at these verses with you and hopefully share some insight into the passage itself. As I begin, I'm just mindful. I don't know if you remember what the first thing is that you ever learnt to bake or cook. You remember as a child what the first thing was that you remembered putting together? If I remember correctly, when I was young, the first thing that I could put together well was a raw egg smoothie. I went through a phase where I was just downing these things one after the other, and I'm not even quite sure if I can recall how to do that now. But I remember there was milk, and there was vanilla essence, and there was a bit of sugar, and there was a raw egg in there, and I had a Tupperware shaker, and I'd pop that lid on, and I'd shake that bad boy, and that was me. I knew how to do that as a young child. I was so pleased to be able to do it. But in order to get to that stage where I was putting those four or five ingredients together, I needed someone to show me how that was done. I needed someone to help me to get to that point of knowledge about my cooking skills. Raw egg smoothies, I'll count as cooking. In this way, in my early life, I didn't only have to contend with raw ingredients, with vanilla essence on the shelf, with an egg, with some milk. It wasn't just raw ingredients anymore. I was able, with the experience of someone else helping me along, to put these things together into something useful. I needed raw ingredients, and I needed the experienced help of someone else to show me what to do. And this translates into life as well. There are raw ingredients to the Christian faith. There are certain characteristics and qualities that we prize and long for, and that we want to develop and cultivate within our Christian community. And we want to mingle them together into a faithful life as followers of Jesus. And in one sense, these characteristics and qualities are like the raw ingredients on the shelf. They are as identifiable as a bag of flour or a spoon of sugar. The scriptures present them to us this way, just clear qualities and characteristics of the faithful life of followers of Jesus. But the scriptures go a step further for us. Not only does it present us with these raw ingredients, it provides us and teaches us to look for trustworthy and experienced helpers who will show us and teach us how to mingle these raw ingredients together, how to put it together into a useful and pleasant product. So first things first, the Apostle Paul is now writing to set before the Corinthian church some of these basic raw ingredients as he signs out his letter. Just a reminder of the raw basic ingredients of the Christian life, some characteristics and qualities that they are to prize and to cultivate within community. And you see this in verse 13. He says to them, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." These are the raw ingredients. And for the Corinthians, it was especially needful to be reminded of these qualities and characteristics. They needed this kind of help badly. If you recall, in life, the Corinthians had been misusing one another and the Christian faith. They had been misusing one another and misusing the Christian faith. And as such, they have undermined their credibility as followers of Jesus. Their misuse of one another included maddening, absolutely maddening infighting amongst themselves when they gathered on their worship days. That there were these pockets of people fighting and having relationship struggles with one another. They nearly abandoned the gospel altogether as their foundation as a church. They slandered. They tolerated the most crazy and bizarre sexual ethics within their church, including visiting prostitutes and incest. They were suing each other in courts. Wives and husbands were withholding marital sex. They were mixing religious superstition with Christian faith. The wealthy were eating their fill and the poor were going hungry. And that's not even to mention the clamor and noise they were making when it came to issues such as spiritual gifts within the church. They were a chaotic group of people. And they defected from, or nearly defected from, key doctrines like the resurrection of Christ. And all I'm getting at is that this church was a messy church. The Corinthians didn't have it all stitched up. They weren't beautiful. Nobody was writing books going, "Be more like the Corinthians." They were messy. And they just needed help from an apostle to remind them of the characteristics and qualities they were to prize and to cultivate amongst themselves. So while they possessed these basic ingredients now, they were often mixing it together wrongly. And they needed help, guidance, and correction. And this help, guidance, and correction comes by way of final reminders and encouragements from the apostle. When he says these things, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, he is offering them grace to remind themselves of what they were to set themselves on as a community of people who follow Jesus. Do these kinds of things, he's saying. Do these kinds of things. Embrace them frequently. And through the grace of God, these things will lead you to a faithful way of following Jesus. Now, for some of us, we're going to read these words, and we might hear these words, And they are just wonderfully strong words to us. They gel with our personalities at a very deep level. We connect. The Apostle Paul, this Christian leader, is urging us to be watchful, stand firm, act like men, be strong. We like those words. They sound exciting. They are forward-footed, warlike, aggressive, chest-thumping kind of words. Love it. Our personalities are that way inclined. And I'm just asking you this morning to be careful. Be careful if this is your first response when you read these words in Scripture. Be careful. We take up the raw ingredient of watchfulness. We are ready to raise our defenses in the Christian faith, keenly aware that falsehood lurks in the Christian community to destroy the Christian community, that there's falsehood that seeks to damage us. But I ask you, be careful not to assume that watchfulness in this passage means that you have to be constantly aggressive and combative in your stance. Be careful that you don't assume that about watchfulness. We take up the ingredient, stand firm. And we say to the Apostle Paul, amen. Amen. We want to stand firm on exactly the thing that the Apostle is calling us to stand firm on. The faith. We are a Christian community, uniquely constituted on the basis that God is reconciling to himself people through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Yes, we want to stand firm on that faith and nothing else, no other truth claim. This is our basis. We stand firm on this faith. We stand on this conviction. But be careful not to assume that when the apostle writes to a broken community and says, stand firm, that he means for them to now become emotionally distant from other people, staunch, hard kind of people. You know, I'm just standing firm. Don't bother me with your problems, kind of stand firm. Be careful not to assume that stand firm means that we can no longer cultivate a relational way of life with one another. We take up the ingredient of act like men and be strong. Notice these words, act like men, be strong. We take up these raw ingredients. And for some of us, we're going to read that word and we're just going to assume the Apostle Paul must have just watched Braveheart. He must have just been watching Fight Club or UFC. Act like men. We envisage that he's got in his mind strong courage and unbeatable odds and chanting and throwing ourselves on the grenades for the sake of others in acts of heroism. We assume that he has this kind of thing about what it means to act like men. that we have learnt from culture and from TV. For others of us, we read this passage and Paul urges a community to act like men, and we just have no idea what he is talking about at all. When we look at our lives, we've experienced no men that we actually want to be like. And now the apostle is saying, act like men? So there are two issues for us to address here. Some of us assume that the apostle is advocating for testosterone-fueled aggression. Act like men. Get your war paint out. And others of us just have no idea what it is to be a man. We have only experienced fighting, foolish, or feeble men. And we can't imagine that that is what the apostle has in mind for our good. I'm going to ask you at this point that perhaps we have something else to learn here. That the apostle is not asking you to imitate what you have learnt about men from TV and from your damaged past experiences. Further still, I'm asking you to learn at this point that Paul was not at all contrasting manliness with the beauty and honor and dignity of femininity as a Christian quality. Paul is not setting up here an argument between men and women. By saying, act like men, Paul was inviting a messy and delinquent Christian community to grow up, to mature. Let me say it this way. The antithesis of men in this verse is not woman, but childishness, immaturity, delinquency. That's his antithesis here. When he says, act like men, he's just asking us to grow up, mature, be responsible, handle your faith as those who are maturing as followers of the greatest man who had ever lived, Jesus Christ. So as we read, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. We just want to be aware of the potential of our cultural voices and background and baggage that we bring that seeks to influence the way we read this passage. And in order to guard us from that, the apostle now adds one further qualification that undergirds what he had just mentioned in verse 13. One further qualification that informs these characteristics and qualities of watchfulness and standing firm and acting like men and being strong. One more thing to flavor what he means. In verse 14, after what may at first have sounded like the defiant cry of an army general leading his troops into battle, he says this: let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. It's a vital qualification that he adds. And it is meant to reshape and inform the way that we read verse 13. For Paul, this is important, for Paul, Christians can possess the characteristics and quality of being watchful. Be watchful in a loving way. It is possible to be a watchful Christian and be loving. For Paul, it is possible to stand firm in the faith, to have some convictions about what is true and what is not, and what God has said and what God has not said, what has God called us to believe and what he has called us not to believe. It is possible to have that kind of faith and yet be a truly loving person. Where people actually don't mind being around you because you're not tearing their heads off all the time. It is possible to stand firm and do that standing firm in love. For Paul, to act like men, to be strong, are not calls to behave like lawless mercenaries, but to have a loving missionary engagement with your neighbors and your friends and work and your communities. These things are possible. We can be watchful. We can stand firm in the faith. We can act like mature people and be strong. Indeed, we must, if we are seeking to obey this portion of Scripture. But these characteristics and qualities are informed, shaped, and defined by love. Isn't it interesting how the Christian faith keeps coming back to that very thing that Jesus talked about? That love for God and for neighbor defines our lives as a community of people. The Apostle Paul has just learnt this from Christ, and he's just asking this broken down Christian community to embrace it again, to refresh themselves in the goodness of love towards others. And once they do that, once they embrace verse 14, once they do all that they do in love, then finally, these raw ingredients of watchfulness and standing firm and being strong, all these things will just mingle together into a beautiful life of devotion to Christ. Saying these things is one thing. Finding a way to do it is quite another. Telling you what you ought to do is one thing. Actually doing it is quite another. It's one thing to read the recipe. It is quite another to handle the ingredients in such a way that produces something pleasant. Therefore, Paul points them to a further help. He has set before them raw ingredients, and now he is going to help them in another way. He is going to point out to them people who are experientially acquainted with the ingredients that he has just been talking about. People who are practitioners of the very things that he is advocating for. Take a look at verses 15 through to 16 if you're following along. He says, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. Evidently, remaining in Corinth, there was a household. And in Christian times like this, that often meant either a family or a master with servants or a master with workers who willingly joined themselves to the family, and they constituted a household. And this household evidently embodied a faithful Christian life. Their lives testified to the sincerity of their faith in Jesus as they devoted themselves to the service of the saints. And the reason the apostle now mentions this household of Stephanas is because people like this in your Christian community are excellent helps. They are there as helpers to help you put together the Christian life in a faithful way. That's why Apostle is making much of Stephanas at this point. He's an excellent help to the Corinthian church. Not only do these people possess sound doctrine, but also a sound way of life that others are able to observe. They are able to look at real embodiments of a faithful Christian life in their community and say, help me to do what you do. Help me to be a Christian the way that you're being a Christian. Help me to learn from you. And the apostle is zealous that Christians do learn from one another this way. That they learn from the example of spiritually mature Christians within their local fellowships. He said it this way, and it may sound very strong, but he says it this way. Look at Stephanas and then be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. Those words are difficult for some of us to hear. Be subject to such as those. In the Christian world today, there is it is very hard to get people to follow some Christian leadership, especially young or new converts, because our culture tells us day in and day out that your rite of passage into adulthood is to rebel against authority, to not have anyone to follow but yourself. It is so ingrained as a cultural value for us that it's hard to even swim up against that current. No master but me alone. No one tells me what to do. No one may assume any kind of leadership over me. It's very hard to hear words like this in our culture that says be subject to someone else. Very, very difficult. But the Bible will challenge us on this. The Bible does mean to challenge us on this. The Bible says our culture has got that wrong. There is room and there is wisdom in subjecting yourself, submitting yourself to someone else who knows more than you do and has gone a little further down the journey than you have. There is wisdom in doing that. There is wisdom in placing yourself under the authority of faithful mature Christians who have demonstrated their commitment to Jesus through loving obedience and service. Note then that the apostle says, be subject to such as these. The apostle is not saying that you are just to subject yourself, to submit yourself to anyone, but to such as these. And these are those who have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Don't learn your Christian life from delinquent Christians who do not embody or do not take up the Christian cause in any meaningful way. Learn your Christian faith from those who are committed and serious about Jesus. That is important. That is crucially important. We want to learn from this imperative. In the local church, God has given people that are worth imitating and learning Christian characteristics from. They are not by any means perfect people. They are not out there saying, I have nailed this. They are people who are bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, as it says in other places. They are repentant people when they are wrong. They know they are not going to measure up to Christ, but they are faithfully pointing people to him. And they are worth imitating. They are worth imitating with all their imperfections. They are worth imitating. They are worth willingly yielding yourself to. And on that, let me just say this one more thing then. Note this command. The command is for Christians to subject themselves to people who are worth imitating. It is not a command for those who are worth imitating to subject others to themselves. There is a crucial difference here. In the New Testament, when we read about the qualities of Christian leadership, it is never domineering. It is never leaders who assume and then forcefully subject others to their rule. Never. Jesus is explicit about that. He says, my kingdom doesn't operate the way that the Gentiles do. They don't just subject people by force. Those who lead in the Christian church lead willingly. They lead with a spirit of gentleness, with a desire to see others grow in Christ. And they're worth imitating that way. And so the onus on Christians is to look for and identify that kind of people. And then just willingly yield and say, look, I want to learn something about the Christian life from you. I just want to spend some time with you and learn something about the Christian life. And the apostle says these people are there to serve us as torchbearers in our faith, so that one day you too might learn to hold the torch for someone else who might look to you for help and guidance in the Christian life. It's a very important principle for Christians to learn, that until we learn this principle, until we learn how to follow others who walk faithfully before us, we will not gain the capacity to lead others in any meaningful way into the Christian life. There's a truism there. Unless you're willing to follow, you are not yet gifted to lead. I say this with a profound sense of personal benefit from my own experience of subjecting myself to others who have had to teach me things about the Christian life, places that I've been wrong, things that I've needed to repent of. Help and guidance along the way and willingly subjecting myself to their guidance and counsel. It can too be done in love. Even that relationship of those who lead and those who subject themselves to their leadership can be a relationship that is not manipulative, that is not intimidating, but is done and worked out within the wonderfully freeing confines of love. So how wonderful it would have been to have people like Stephanas to help you learn something about the Christian life. To have someone in your church to say, I just want to learn from you. I see you doing good things for Jesus. I see you loving Jesus. I see you making changes in your life for the glory of God and the beauty of Christ in your life. And I want to learn from you. Stephanas was that kind of person in Corinth. His household was like that. What a glorious thing to have, to willingly commit ourselves to observing and learning from their lives. And that's something we can still do this very day with all the hang-ups and rebellion against authority that we bring to the table. We can relearn how to learn from one another and from other spiritually mature leaders who conduct a life of love. Let me finish then with two exhortations for you. The text has set before us some basic ingredients for the Christian life. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. This morning, ask God to give you the desire to grow in these characteristics, deeply informed by love. Secondly, don't overlook that God's answer to that prayer may come by way of noticing and observing and imitating faithful Christians in your local church. That the way that God will develop these characteristics and qualities in you is by you taking notice of someone else who is learning to master these characteristics themselves. This, according to our passage, is God's provision for our spiritual growth.